This is a cool story. During the New Deal in World War II, Washington elites turned to Hope Ridings Miller's column in the Washington Post to see what was really going on in town. Cocktail parties, embassy receptions, and formal dinners were her beat as society editor. "I went as a guest," said Miller, "and hoped they'd forget I was a reporter." In the new book, Washington's Golden Age, Joseph Dalton chronicles the life of this pioneering woman journalist who covered the powerful vortex of politics, diplomacy, and society during a career that stretched from FDR to LBJ. After joining the Post staff, she was the only woman on the city desk. Later, she had a nationally syndicated column. For 10 years, she edited Diplomat magazine and then wrote three books about life in Washington. Joseph Dalton's new book is Washington's Golden Age. Times Union reporter, critic, and author Joseph Dalton joins us this morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Joe. I'm great. I want to say, before we go further, working on this book for years, I held a vision of coming here and talking to you on WAMC, so it's a great day.
Well, thank you. That's very, very nice. I have to say, I did not know much, if anything, about this woman. I had heard about her in passing, I think, in a couple of books by other Washington elite folk, but did not know a whole lot about the story. What brought you to it?
She's my cousin.
Okay. So now, given that personal aspect, which is fascinating in and of itself, how long were you fully aware of what her accomplishments were?
From childhood. Okay. I never grasped the real extent of her contacts and accomplishments until I began on the book. But I remember growing up in Fort Worth, Texas, her books on the coffee table in my grandparents' house. So that's telling you how long I knew about her. Her name was always said with a certain reverence in the household. Cousin Hope.
Cousin Hope. When it comes to you then deciding to write the story, was that something that in your mind was always a foregone conclusion? Oh, well, I will do that someday. or a very deliberate thing of saying, you know, this really needs to be done.
It was when I moved to Albany in 2002 and began writing for the Times Union that I was struck with the idea. I was not a writer before I came to Albany, and I was lucky enough to make a connection at the Times Union and find a gig that worked for me. And I realized, oh, there's some other writers in the family. My mother was a journalist. And then what about Cousin Hope? And I had never read her books. I got her books and began reading and was very taken both with her style and also the fact that her first book, Embassy Row, The Life and Times of Diplomatic Washington, she wasn't writing from historical sources. She was writing firsthand knowledge. She was there for the things she was writing about. And I was like, wow. This would be a good project to write Cousin Hope's biography. And again, that was 16 years ago.
So is it easier or more difficult, realizing you've never done this before, but is it easier or more difficult, do you think, to write about somebody that you have a familial connection with, or starting from scratch and saying, I'm going to investigate this life of a stranger?
I think it was easier because I knew her. I went to college in Washington in the early 80s, and so I was in my late teens and early 20s, and we became friends, and she was in her late 70s. So I always knew how the book would end. The last chapter is our relationship. And so I think it was easier. There was a grasp of the personality. I struggled at times to find information about points in her life, but I always knew who the woman was, and that helped a great deal.
When you think of the accomplishments, you know, I think of this in a war setting. I know my father fought in World War II, and I just knew that growing up, but I didn't really understand what that meant until I started to hear the stories and I grew up, and then you understand what that is of, oh God, what he did, which was quite amazing. Was it the same way? I mean, you had those books on the coffee table, and then suddenly you look at this life and you think, oh wow.
Exactly.
You put that into a context.
Yes. Getting down into what it really meant. I knew she was society editor for the Post. I knew she wrote three books. And she repeated that to me, but she never told me about how LBJ liked to kiss her on the cheek. She never told me about being 33 years old and maybe it was 36. So she was in Washington only a few years. She was still in her 30s. And her husband had dinner in the White House family quarters with the Roosevelts. That's something you talk about in your life. And
right.
She, maybe because she had just done so many of those kinds of things, she never told me about them. And we had many meals together. So it was definitely a gosh once the research began.
When you're in a job like that and you've done that, even when you're in your 70s, are you still basically doing that even though you may not be the society editor of the Washington Post?
She maintained a social presence well through her 80s in Washington. So she wasn't coming home in the next morning writing up the
right.
parties she went to, but it was in her blood to be part of to be out there on the scene. And I benefited from that. She just liked to go out and about. She called it going about. And I was a music student at Catholic University, and she came to my recitals. And that was really sweet of her.
What was it like? I mean, let's not forget here that, the subtitle, the second part of the subtitle of the book is The Rise of Women Journalists. So she's at the forefront of this. How many women were working for the Washington Post when she started?
I don't have a good answer to that number, but when she started, Eugene Meyer had just purchased the paper, and one of the ways he was making a distinction and rebuilding it, and let me say, we all know the Washington Post today.
Right.
It's the survivor of the Washington newspapers, and it became famous during Watergate. In the 30s, it was in the number five out of five newspapers. So it was not a prestigious gig necessarily, but they needed talent. And she began writing in the women's pages. Usually the women's columns in major cities were syndicated, what we call wire copy. Mr. Meyer hired a team of women, and Hope was one of them. She did that for about 3 years, and then she was on the city desk. The only women, here's some perspective for you in terms of numbers. When she was on the city desk for 8 months, she was one woman out of with 50 men.
Wow. Did she talk about that at all, about what that was like? Again, I put it in a context of what that was like.
No, she did not get into much details of things like that, but she did make clear that she was not a women's liber. She said repeatedly in interviews and things that I found that she never faced discrimination, and she was very much of the mindset that women should do less demanding rights and do it working hard, and that the rights will come. And she became very popular in the party scene because she had a nice sense of humor, and she had little bon mots that she liked to say. And one of them was, I don't believe in equal rights for women. I want special privileges. And it's a cute saying. In terms of whether she faced discrimination, though, I found a couple of things that went against her argument that she never had any difficulties or impediments because of her gender. And during that period she was on the city desk, she said one of her jobs was to go to check the drawer of her editor's desk to make sure he had a bottle that would last him through the night. And if there wasn't enough to drink, she had to go across the street to the liquor store.
Oh, wow. Oh, there you go. Yeah, Mike does that for me. What is... when... She started, you tell this early in the book, but Kay Meyer, right, is becomes Katharine Graham and was one of the people who was working on that woman's page.
She was the copy girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
talk about, I mean, obviously she's a publisher's daughter, but she's working from the bottom up, right?
Exactly. The little appearance of Kay Graham, the future great Kay Meyer, as she was known then, and who became the great Katharine Graham, it's one of many walk-ons and bigger appearances of tons of famous people that are in the book. Along with covering the party scene, Hope covered the various celebrities that came to town. There's Mary Pickford, Spencer Tracy, Walt Disney are all in the book. When the Royals came in 1938, I have a whole chapter about the garden party. The story of the Royals and the Roosevelts going to Hyde Park and sharing hot dogs is well known. But a couple of days before, there was a garden party at the British Embassy. And there was a hullabaloo of who got on the guest list. It was very exclusive, even though there were 1,200 people. So there's all kinds of great names and great moments in the book.
When it came to those invitations, she was invited because, I mean, there was a trust to know that when she was invited, she would be able to
report.
Convey and report what was going on in what they would see as a positive way, I assume.
Yes, she said it was generally speaking, where society editors were supposed to put the best spin on anything they could. If she was invited, it was with an understanding that she was a reporter, and one of her friends, there weren't many friends left by the time I was writing the book, but one friend said, if you saw Hope at a party across the way, you generally knew it was going to be written up. However, she, as you read in your introduction, she functioned as a guest, and I was lucky enough to work from an oral history that had been conducted, and it was a great interview over 5 sessions with her. And she says, I never carried a notebook. It would have thrown off the whole dynamic. But she did have a little notebook in her bosom, and sometimes she'd run off to the ladies' room
like
and
do.
Whip out a pen and paper and take down what she just heard.
So if Senator fill-in-the-blank gets schnockered and puts a lampshade on his head, that probably isn't going to get reported.
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah.
There were some others who did that, and it became more of the thing, but Hope would not have done that kind of thing.
Right.
She was a lady, and that carried over into her writing. She had a dignity, and she had a respect for people. And that's one reason the book is called Washington's Golden Age. What a contrast do we have today? She and her peers, not just the journalists, but the powerful men in the city, conducted themselves with dignity. Maybe there were some lampshades along the way, but they weren't rushing out and telling all the secrets right away.
But you think of the time of even Roosevelt going to his grave without many people knowing that he had polio. You think of, well, it was well known in Washington that President Kennedy had affairs, but that was never reported by anybody. Yeah, it's a very different time, and she was operating really under those rules.
Exactly. She said in the Kennedy chapter, there I have some quotes from her. She said there seemed to always be a Kennedy scandal about to erupt every week, something new. And the hostesses were one of her great focuses. And she said the number one hostess was always assumed to be the first lady. But Mrs. Kennedy basically took a year off from being first lady.
Yeah.
And there was an absence of leadership in the social scene. And that didn't exactly show up in the writing. She continued to put the best spin on it. But I think an absent first lady has a little bit of a parallel to today of how little sometimes we see of Mrs. Trump.
You have to think. You have to think. I thought of this while I was reading this book. I can't imagine that you didn't think of it while writing about it. Oh, my God, what would Hope make of what's going on in the city that she loved today?
And I don't have a good answer for that. I mean, I think she would be aghast. It would be beyond words. She kind of withdrew from the day-to-day life of Washington, covering the day-to-day life in the 60s, and when things got coarser and, you know, they were out in front of the White House saying, LBJ, how many boys did you kill today?
Right.
Even that, I think, made her shrink back. I think she would also, though, want to know, so this is the course of life in Washington. What's happening in the social scene? And I think a stronger social scene leads to more camaraderie and good feeling and cooperation.
I think you make a very good point, and we'll have to end with this, but I think you make a very good point in the book that tell me if my assumption here is off base, but it seems that many people dismiss the society column and think, oh, well, you know, that's just, okay, that's fine, that's gossip, that's this or that. But that's the engine of the city, especially at that time. And that's when things happened.
Exactly. She said the social scene is where Washington does business. I'd also like to make a case, though, that back in the day in the mid-century, every newspaper had a society reporter, and that was often the means or the entry door for women into journalism. So it's the early jobs of women are not to be discounted and forgotten. And for Hope, though, she was a society editor of a different sort because she was covering the powerful and elite on the social scene in Washington during the war when the city exploded with life and the government became what it is today.
And oh, by the way, she's a great writer.
Oh, thank you.
Right?
I say thank you. I agree.
Yeah.
I quote her extensively.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a chance for her own writing to come back to life. And as I began the writing process, okay, she's talking about a beautiful room with chandeliers and gorgeous people. How do I re-say that? And I'm like, why do that? She did it pretty well to begin with.
Well, the book is beautiful. You're going to be anywhere signing or talking about it?
Yes, thank you. This Sunday at Open Door in Schenectady from noon to 1:30. Come and take a look at the book. And also just to my readers, I love meeting people that read my classical music reviews. Come say hello.
It's the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady, New York, and it's on
Sunday, noon to 1:30 p.m.
Noon to 1:30. The name of the book, Washington's Golden Age, Joseph Dalton. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
It's great to be on WAMC. Thanks,
Joe. Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.